Turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 2. We're going back into our study on the seven churches of Asia. And we're still on the church of Ephesus, the first one. And as I said, it's a lengthy study, not trying to draw it out, not trying to be long with it. But this is something that's applying to the present day. And we can see our steps in this thing together as we move away from the Lord. And we know today that there's less love for God than there's ever been, I guess, in our churches, if you will, across the land. Even those who love the Lord don't love Him like we ought to love the Lord. All right, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, my desire is to see that the Lord be prevalent and foremost in your life. Revelation 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have wrought somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Going back to verse number 2, the Lord's already told them. He said, I know your works, what you're done, what you're doing, what you have done, what you're going to do. And based upon that, he said, there's something I want to commend you for, that you can't stand those or cannot bear those or put up with those, tolerate those who do evil. You're against evil. The Bible said that we are to abstain from the very appearance of evil. If it appears to be evil, we're to leave it alone. And a lot of times people say, well, I just don't know where that's right or wrong. If you don't know where it's right or wrong, you better stay away from it. Amen. Just good advice. Somebody told me one time, and this has stayed with me down through the years, if you don't know what to do, just don't do it till you know what to do. Amen. And that's the way it is. If you think something's wrong, then follow your instinct and stay that way. But if God says something's right, do it. But if you feel like it's wrong, or maybe you don't know that it's wrong, if you don't know it's wrong, then leave it alone. If you're in doubt about something, leave it alone. Don't ever do anything for the Lord unless you know that's what God wants you to do, and have the full assurance of that from the Word of God. So he's commending them. And then in verse number 3, he's told them of what's happened, how that they're able to bear, and how that they lifted up and helped folks, and they had the patience, and they labored for his name's sake, and they had not fainted, and they hadn't given up, and they hadn't quit, hadn't thrown in the towel. They're still with it. So he gives them the commendation. But we get to verse number 4, and here's where we'll stay for a while. Actually, I believe verse number 4, if you could put out in the margin Bible, this is the crunch, and I guess this is the subject of the message. I'm talking about the message that the Lord's given the church, if you will. This is actually where he's getting to and wants to be, and this is the subject of the matter. He's given a commendation, but now he's beginning to tell them what the problem is. So he starts off with a word here called nevertheless. And that one little word, that means something like this. Take note, sit up and listen, wake up, I've got something to tell you. Nevertheless. Now when somebody's been commending, when I read this, and every time I read something in the scriptures according to this, like nevertheless, after God's done that, or therefore, or something of that nature, I'm reminded of when I was on the public job. Back yonder several years ago, and some of you works on jobs know what I'm talking about. When I first started working, didn't have anything like this, but then in the modern days, now they changed commercial work and so forth. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say they do a job review on you? Amen. You know what that is, don't you? It's time for a job review, or we're going to have a little time, and they set you down. And the supervisor set you down with a long list of paper, you know. And he said, well, I notice you never do miss a day. You're always on time. We'd always count on you. Do a good job. And they'll go down with a list of stuff, and they'll say, and, you know, we appreciate people that's very talented, and people that was are, you know, associated with a company and work for the company and have the company on their mind and all the stuff that you do and all the input you have. And looking at that, they'll go down and give you a whole list of stuff. But they say, notice one thing, I want to point out something I think you need to improve on. They always do that, don't they? Now they pat you on the back and they always do that. See, when I was getting those interviews and I thought, if I'm doing such a good job, what you mean? Well, this is what I always get a thought of here. The Lord's patted on the back and told me, and he said, now I want to tell you where your problem is. And so those job reviews are kind of come up to that. When I was in supervision, I got later in the supervision, and those are over us, those who were the higher-ups, what we call the higher-ups, they would set you down and say, you got to do job reviews, and you got to go over the job titles and the reviews with everybody and tell them what they're doing. And here's what they would tell us. They would say, listen, always make them feel good. Always commend them. Always point out the good points. And some of them it was hard to do. Amen. Always point out the good traits. Always point out the good characteristics. But don't ever have an interview that you can't find something wrong with them. They'd tell us that. They always find something wrong. Amen. If the way this stand, whatever it is, you got to do something. You always got to find. And so I'm looking at this, and I don't believe that's what the Lord had in mind here. This is just actually what was taking place. So that word nevertheless means, hey, I got something I want to talk about. There's a little problem here. We got a problem we need to deal with. So he says, nevertheless, I. Now, who's that I? The Lord. Amen, the Lord. Now, John is writing this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He's in the Lord's day on the Isle of Patmos. And he's there for a testimony for the Word of God. But now guess what? He's writing. Jesus is writing this through the pen of the Apostle John. And he said, nevertheless, I. And we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has a personal problem with those that were in the church, somewhat against them in a sense. Now what he's saying is, you're busy. You're staying at it. But there's something wrong with you. You have left your first love. You have left your first love. And he goes on to tell that, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What they've done, they've been laboring, but they hadn't been laboring with love. You know, sometimes, and I've done that. I do it sometimes. You do it many times in our life. We probably do this more than we do the other way. And I'll try to make you understand what I'm talking about. Lots of time we just get involved in doing the work for the Lord because we know that's right. We have a desire to do that. We have no desire to do anything but that. But at the same time, we're laboring and toiling for the Lord, but we don't have the love for the Lord like we ought to have. We're doing it as an obligation. Now, I'm sure you've done that. Amen. Some of you may be doing that now. Now, and you may be here this morning because it's an obligation, and another might be here because you love the Lord. And I don't know the reason why you do anything that you do for the Lord. But it should be that we love the Lord to do it. So they had a lot of labor in this church. There were a lot of folks working. They were busy. They were staying at it. They were steadfast with it. Matter of fact, he said they hadn't given up and hadn't quit. But what they did, they had labor without any love. At the same time, they had some, had doctrine. They was right on their doctrines. Nobody could put anything on them about wrong with the doctrine. Matter of fact, they hated that which is evil we talked about. They despised the Nicolaitans, which we'll deal with when we get down to that verse. And they were standing for the truth. They had their doctrines right. They could dot their I's and cross the T's on the doctrine. They had the right kind of doctrine. They believed the Scriptures for what the Scriptures were. They believed all that. They were steadfast in that. But they had doctrine without any kind of devotion on it. Now, you can just have doctrines and do those doctrines because it just says that. But we have to have a devotion for what we believe. I believe the doctrines and the fundamentals of the faith, don't you? And I believe those strongly enough that I have a devotion to those that I'm going to stand for them. Some folks have some doctrines of the Word, but they would not stand for those doctrines. We're wishy-washy all over the place most of the time when it comes to doctrines. Standing for the truth and standing for the fight of the Lord. Amen. And then they had the right kind of teachings. And they was teaching, but I believe that Ephesus has got the place like we do sometimes. We got the right kind of teaching, but we don't have the tenderness. to try to get it across to people, you know. And you know what happens in our modern churches today, and I'm serious about this, we want to beat people on the head to make them live right. I've done that all my life, and you have too. Amen. You beat your kids on top, you know, beat them. I'm not talking about getting a stick and beating them, amen. Some of them need it, but I'm telling you, you just kind of drive. You want your kids to walk straight. Ain't nobody in this building, I believe, would want anything else. You want your children to abide by the truth and walk in the truth. And you do just about anything you can to get them to do that, except pick their feet up and put them down one after another, and you'd do that if it would help. Ain't that right? You want them to walk right. And you beat them on the head, so to speak, to drive them into it, but they will not do it. And so I'm afraid sometimes that we try to teach others how to live, but we don't have the tenderness with them. Matter of fact, I know I don't have the patience, but he said Ephesus had patience. They had patience with people. Amen. Somebody goes a little bit astray in the church and gets a little bit wrong, and we want to be critical of them. Uh-oh. We want to be critical of them, and we become critical. And what we do most of the time is we hurt them and damage them more. The last thing we want to do is pray for them. We're ready to run them off. Amen. I mean, our kids, and I'm not saying pat them on the back. You never pat sin on the back. You never pat a sinner on the back. What you bring it out in the open. You get it dealt with, but you do it with tenderness. Amen. Now, my daddy didn't know too much about tenderness. Amen. But he drove it home to me. But that was pretty tender on his part. Sometimes it takes chastening. It does take chastening. I'm not here telling you that we can pat everybody on the back and make them do right. You can't do that. You can't do your children that way. You're real nice to them, and if you love mommy, you're going to do it. If you love daddy, you're going to do it. Amen. Guess what? They'll love mom and daddy and cut your throat. Amen. They will. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, you got to be tender in your dealings with them, but at the same time, you got to be firm in it. So these folks, I believe, had teachings, but they weren't tender. They had some activity. They were busy, but they didn't have the affection that they ought to have for the Lord. The Bible said, set your affection on things above, not on things this earth. Ain't that right? We were to set our affections on things above and not down here. They had some, they got the place that they had some humility about them or in certain places and certain areas, and they didn't in the rest of it. They had a lot of formality. They had a lot of formal things that they did, but they didn't base themselves upon reality, and they faced some things, and they didn't have everything that they needed. So we're looking at this. Their heads were in it, but their heart wasn't. We do that at our church all the time. Amen. We'll just give that over in just a minute. Their shoulders were in it because they had physical work. Amen. But they were hard workers at the same time. But they weren't loving God like they should. They were at the place that they'd left their first love. You remember I said this on Wednesday night, and this give it away. They had not forsaken God to the place, and they got to the place that they had left their first love. Just walked away from it's what they did. You know, they just throwed away their love for the Lord. They left their first love. Now, what was their first love? What is our first love? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what it means by that, when I say that this morning, is this. The day you get saved, you take somebody that's been in sin, and they get saved by God's marvelous grace, guess what happens to them? God makes them a new creature from the top of their head to the bottom of their foot. Their life is changed, completely transformed, renewed. It's a brand new life, right? Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now, who you think they're going to love? The one that saved them. Amen. And they're going to love him like nobody's ever been loved before. And he's going to be the delight. He's going to be the first, the foremost, the extreme of their life. And he's going to be number one in their soul. That's what happens when we get saved. That's our first love. Our first love is how we loved the Lord when we got saved by God's grace. You remember when you first got saved, you told everybody about it. Amen. You're so excited about it. Amen. If you're young, you called your parents or your grandparents and you told them about it. Amen. And if you're older, you didn't have to say too much. They already noticed it. Amen. And they could tell it in just a heartbeat. So what it means to have a first love is that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and strength. And it becomes a fervent love. In other words, we get so excited about it. We get so engrossed about it. It's kind of like a couple. Amen. I've told this story lots of times, but when me and my wife, back when I got out of high school, and I'd had two or three girlfriends, but nobody liked my wife. And guess what? I mean, I wasn't going to see her from Monday till Wednesday, and sometime Monday till Friday, and we'd separate, and I'd be so sick. I know what it'd be, love sick, and I'd be so sick, my stomach would roll. Amen. Of course, 6 months later, I stayed sick because... No, I didn't. But, amen. That's love sick. Love sick. But I'm saying to you this morning, you know what I'm talking about. When a man and woman get in love and fall in love and they want to live their life together, that's a precious thing. And we'll find that's the kind of thing it is with the Lord Jesus Christ and all this. Well, in reality, the clock strikes 12. Midnight comes on. Amen. We know what happens then. Amen. We turn back into what we were. And here we are. Love grows cold. And our honeymoon gets stagnant. Our routine, amen. Guess what? The wife gets up, she cooks the breakfast, feeds the husband, and it's not now with as much enthusiasm as it is just to do the duty of a wife. Amen. To feed the bread, to fix the bread for them. Amen. And the husband gets up and goes to the job, and it's not exciting to go to the job so he can get back home and all that. It just gets stale. You understand what I'm saying? And, now the woman washes the clothes, but she used to wash the husband's clothes and look now, oh, this is my darling and all that, and now it's just, I had to wash all day. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I'm trying to get that across. That's exactly what happens to us at the church. It does. Am I right? Yes, sir. It happens that way. We get to the place, oh, we love God. If I ask you this morning, how many of you love God? I would expect to see every hand in here raised. Amen. Even you that don't would raise your hand. You wouldn't want me to know that you didn't. You understand what I'm saying? And we love Him. And we love Him out of obligation. He saved us. Sure, we have a right to love Him. We ought to love Him. We know we should. We should tell everybody we love Him. Amen. But whether we do or not, our love sometimes grows stale and stagnant. And so then we get to studying our Bible, and the Bible is not as exciting. When we first got saved, we wanted to learn all we could about the Lord Jesus Christ. We wanted to educate ourselves in knowing more and more about Him. Amen. And then things happen and things change. And our prayer life gets to the place where it no longer fulfills us. We don't have a desire to pray like we ought to pray. What's happening is we are leaving our first love. What's happening? We're growing cold on the Lord. How many times have you done it? I have many, many times. Isn't it amazing? You get up one morning, you feel so good for the Lord. The next morning, you're just dragging. I know you do. All of us do it. Flesh gets up in the morning. You want to read and study your Bible and pray, and you want to walk for the Lord and be a great witness for Him. The next morning you get up, you don't even care where you do anything or not. Amen. That's life. But that's not what the Lord wants out of us. Amen. Worship is no longer real. It's no longer exciting. We get the place that we're walking away from our first love. We're giving it up. We get the place that we're growing cold on the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our fervor's gone. Our spirit is waning. It's getting to the side. We fall into a state of formalism. That's exactly what the world's done. And we're doing it in our churches today. There used to be a time of excitement down at the house of God. Now, I don't believe we ought to have to come in here and see some people base church services on how much you shout and how much you, get excited. Amen. Sometimes we come in and our soul is so excited by our flesh, sometimes it's too weak to get it involved in it. You understand? But it ought to be exciting to come to the house of God and get out of that spirit of formalism. Amen. The next thing will happen, if we're not careful, we get cold as we begin to fall into a colder state of apostasy, get in the place that we forget God, and we get the place, and we'll see. Now, these folks, I don't believe, had gotten the place yet that they had fallen into apostasy. That wasn't a problem. They hadn't forgot their doctrines. Remember, I told you they was right with their doctrines. They hadn't forgotten their doctrines, hadn't walked away from it, and they had that all straightened. It wasn't even bad conduct. It wasn't sin that they'd got involved in and going out and committing sins in the world, was it? I mean, the Lord would have told them that if he had. He's not saying it's because you've been playing around with the world and fooling around with the world and looking like the world and acting like the world. He didn't say that here. He said, what you have done, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. What you've done is you've grown cold on me. Isn't that one of the first steps? And if you'll notice in the Ephesian church or the Ephesian church here, and all, this is the first one of all of them, and I said that it's probably the strictest, the straightest, and the cleanest, and the best one of all of them. And God started that, but he showed even the best ones, and even what those who have good intentions and good doctrines, like our churches across the country that are standing for the fundamental, even those are subject to losing the first love. I'm subject to it. You're subject to it. And I look back on my life, all the years I've tried to spend for God, there's been times I love the Lord more than I love him at another time. Amen. And if you don't love him more today than you've ever loved him, you went backwards. Amen. And I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me, but not you. And so we need to pay attention. Do we love the Lord now more than we've ever loved him? I hear people sometimes give a testimony. I thought I loved the Lord when I got saved, but hey, I just learning to love him. Amen. I've heard husbands and wives say that. I've heard husbands say, and the wives say also, I love my mate better now than I've ever loved him. Amen. Some can say that. If you can't say that, you got a problem. Something's happened in your marriage. Something's happened in your marriage relationship. And the same thing with the Lord. If you don't love the Lord now like you used to love him, and you love him less than you've ever loved him, then you've got a spiritual problem that you need to get settled with, and you fit the category here. Now, the first step of falling away and getting the place that God can remove the church. You see, and I'm going to say this, and you listen to me very carefully. I'm going from personal experience. I'm going from what I've seen down through the years. There's been a lot of churches that's come in, made headway, even in our county, but not just here in this county, but in the other counties as well, and other parts and other states and all around the world. There'll be a church, and if you'll notice, churches get in the place of the limelight. They get the place where God can use them. Most churches have a good, effective ministry. Amen. They'll get started good, and God will bless them, and people come in and get saved and birthed in the family of God. They'll grow, and they get in the limelight, so to speak, of God's grace, and God begins to bless them. And then if you're not careful, little bitty things begin to take place. They lose their first love. They walk away, get cold on God. And the next thing you know, the church is not doing anything for the Lord at all. And it picks up rotten doctrines. It begins to take in other versions of the scriptures. It begins to turn and deteriorate and go in the opposite direction. And then it just becomes a house of just of so-called worship that they don't worship God in. We've seen it happen over and over and over, haven't we? Amen. And that could happen here. And it's not sin running into the world that's going to cause it all the time. It's just us losing our first love, getting the place that we begin to get cold and get to the place that we don't have that spiritual fire. And we begin to forsake that spiritual affection that we have for the Lord or have had for the Lord, forsaking our first love. And then what happens is we'll have a lack of Bible study. Amen. I mentioned this a while ago, but I wanted to save it till now to tell you what happens when I first got saved. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to read the Bible. I had no desire for it before then, Matter of fact, I'd read the Bible and read somewhere I couldn't understand what I was reading. I was a young man, and I appreciate that. And there's words I couldn't pronounce. And the Word of God was a hard book for me to understand. But I kept reading it. And God began to show me things through the Spirit of the Lord that dwelt in me. And I began to see some things in the Bible. Thank God for that. That's how He teaches us. And so I've learned a little bit down through the years in the teaching of the Word of God. But I had a desire for it. Matter of fact, I'd even write it. I loved to write the Word of God when I was just after I got saved. I'd take me a tablet and I'd just write the Bible. Amen. Just write it word for word. Amen. I didn't know God was preparing me for all this when I was doing that. But I began to write the Word of God, read the Word of God, try to memorize the Word of God. I'd try to learn all I could and try to get down to the bottom of it. But then if you're not careful, after a little space of time, you'll get to where you don't read your Bible like you ought to read it. It becomes uninteresting to you. And if you're not careful, you get to the place you think you've arrived. You've come to a place, I know so much about God, and you've learned this and you've learned that. And you sometimes, if you're not careful, the devil put this in your mind, there's not much more that you can learn. Have you ever got to that place? Amen. Well, some of you may have, and some of you may have not. Maybe you've got the place and the devil's made you think you've got to the place in your life that there's no need to learn anymore. There's more out there to learn, but I know enough. And if you're not careful, you get cold and lose that. But if you have a love for God like you ought to have, an affection for God and the Word of God, you'll continue to study it. So that's one way that you can find out. Secondly, there's a lack of prayer. We've been talking about praying. I trust you've been praying more than you've been praying. And I pray that the Lord will keep on helping you in your prayer life. But praying is another thing that we begin to lose sight of. And where our love for Christ begins to grow cold, what happens to us is that we fail to start praying. In church attendance, you get to the place that you don't care where you go to church or not. You don't care where you even get up and go. And you're not excited about it. When church is not exciting about you, you've grown cold. You either lost or grown cold on God, one of the two. Amen. When you don't want to go to the house of the Lord, when you don't want to get involved in it, and if you're not careful as a Christian, you'll get the place that you even let it bother your giving. I know a lot of people, they of course, there's two ways of looking at that in giving to the Lord and tithing and so forth. There's some folks do it out of obligation and then not love for the Lord. Amen. And that's just as bad as those that don't give it. Don't have a love for the Lord. Amen. I wish I had more money to give to the Lord, wouldn't you? Amen. But to what happens, they'll do that and the devil give them the place that they'll try to pull out and not give God everything he's due. And so the devil does that. Why? We lose our first love. Amen. In our giving, in our worship, in our reading, in our praying, we lose that first love. Amen. And then notice in verse number 4, I want you to see something. Jesus has been offended. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." He's been offended. He said, what's happened? You, he's calling you by name and me by name. He said, because thou, that's me and you, hast left thy first love. What we do? We left. I believe he's been offended in a sense because we have left our first love. Amen. We ought to be careful about that. The word left means this. If you look it up, you'll find that in this particular place. In chapter 2 and verse number 4, that word left means to abandon. He's saying you've abandoned it. You've walked off and left it. You've left your first love. You're forsaken. You've disregarded your love for me. You've dismissed your love for me. Oh, you're busy. I appreciate what you're doing. You're going through a form and a fashion, and you're doing what's right, but you don't love me. Amen. There's a difference, aren't there? Amen. Now, a lot of times men do things for their wives that in marriage. They do that because it's just the typical thing to do. You get in the humdrum, isn't it? And then sometimes you do for your wife because, hey, I love her. I'm going to do this because I love her. Wives is the same way. You do things for your husband because it's duty. I mentioned that a moment ago. Amen. It's duty. But to wash dishes and so forth. But hey, when you're washing that fork and spoon, saying, oh, this is for my husband. Amen. I love him and I want a good clean plate for him. Amen. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. We love them. Amen. All right. Or fellas, you pick your socks up and put them in the place where they're supposed to go, and your dirty clothes in the clothes basket instead of throwing them down beside them. Not because it's duty, but because you love your wife. Amen. Put your shoes back in the shoe rack instead of just kicking them off. Amen. You tell on myself here in a minute. But anyhow, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? And we do these things just because we do it. First, I want you to notice the rank of importance. Amen. There's something here that the Lord wants us to see. Look at Matthew chapter, we've got a little time. Matthew chapter 22. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, I want you to read verses 36. And we'll read a few verses here. Matthew 22 and 36. Here's what he said. Matthew 22, 36 said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Ooh. How about that? Amen. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. All of it. This is the first and great commandment. That's above all of them. Amen. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now the Lord is saying to us, we need to love Him first and foremost, on top of everything and above all things, or we're in trouble. Amen? Amen. We'll always want to be around the object of our affection. What we love the most, if it's your car, your golf clubs, amen, your dishwasher, whatever you love the most, that's what you want to be around, isn't it? And so that's what He's trying to get us to do. If our affection's on the Lord, He wants us to be around Him. Amen. Now that word left in verse 4, I'm going to mention this and quit. That word left comes from a word, I'm going to spell it because I can't pronounce it, A-P-H-I-E-M-I. A-P-H-I-E-M-I. That's the word that it comes from, that word left. And that word there means to put away or divorce. The Lord said, what you've done is you divorced me with your love. You divorced me. Your love, you divorced me. You put me away. You sent me away. I'm an outcast to you. You put me away. Oh, you're doing work for me, but you don't love me like you should. And so He's put it there. And so taking that in thought this morning and just a few things said about that verse, we'll say some more. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. What is it? You left your first love. You walked away from me. Amen. You've turned your back on me. You don't love me like you used to. Oh, if I could just get anything across to you this morning. Let's fall in love with the Lord again. Get back where we love Him like we should love Him. Maybe like we have loved Him. Amen. And exceed what we've loved Him. If you've loved the Lord in a great manner, love Him even greater this morning. I want to love Him with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. Amen. And that's how the Lord wants us to do it. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege of prayer. Lord, we realize today that we need to love You. Lord, You've loved us. Our love has grown cold. We've grown weak from time to time. Lord, it has to be kept kindled. The fire has to keep kept being trimmed and made to burn brighter. But Lord, we thank You this morning that You've never failed in Your love toward us. You've proven it down through the years. Even when we didn't love You, You still loved us. And when our love grown cold, Your love was still on fire. Thank You this morning that You set the example and help us to walk in it and be what we ought to be. And Lord, be the soldier of the cross, the servant of God that we ought to be for Your glory and honor. Touch the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.